This is Space Kate here at the University of Florida for the Next Generation Suborbital Researchers Conference. That's a bit of a mouthful. Anyway, I've walked over to the Astronauts for Hire table, and here's Ben Corbin. What's your role over here?
Well, I am the PR director for Astronauts for Hire, and I was part of the second class of astronauts that were selected for this group.
So, in a nutshell, what are Astronauts for Hire?
So, the idea of the group Astronauts for Hire is we're trying to create a pool of candidates that are well-trained for the next generation of suborbital and orbital commercial flights. We're developing the training programs. We're trying to seek out the astronaut candidates, working with the training providers and the flight providers, just trying to work all these new areas together and find our niche and really be kind of the glue that holds the industry together in a way. We are also a nonprofit organization in the state of Florida as an education and research group, and we are also an education and research affiliate of the Commercial Spaceflight Federation.
Well, with the end of the shuttle program in just a few months, America's going to have a bit of trouble sending people back up into space. What are you going to do in the meantime?
Well, in the meantime, hopefully it won't be for too long. NASA's looking to buy the flights from the Russians, which at a cost per astronaut day in space is actually a little bit cheaper than what we have with the entire space shuttle program. Hopefully within the next 3 to 5 years, our commercial orbital capabilities will be more up to speed. Companies like SpaceX and Orbital Science will be launching their own capsules that can resupply and send crew up to the International Space Station. Really, a lot of the people in the commercial sector believe that they can take that job away from NASA, not just to take away the job, but to let NASA focus on further exploration and really pushing the edges of the frontier. We've already been to low Earth orbit. You know, that's where we've been since 1972. And really, there's a lot of stakeholders that NASA needs to satisfy, and we think the private sector can do just as good of a job and let NASA focus on the things that it needs to do, like further exploration, sending humans further than we have. The kind of the general philosophy is that the commercial companies aren't going to necessarily be the ones that blaze the trail to a new place. That's kind of NASA's and the government's job. And if you look back through history, whether you're looking at Christopher Columbus being funded by Queen Isabella, Lewis and Clark being funded by Thomas and Jefferson, about 50 years after those points, you had economic forces that drove more people to go to those places that were explored. And now, 50 years, this actually marks the 50th anniversary of manned spaceflight. 50 years ago, Yuri Gagarin was the first man in space. And now we are starting to see the change. We are trying to break the model of government owning space as a place. Space is a place. It's not just a program. So what Astronauts for Hire is trying to do is increase the number of qualified candidates that would be able to fly on these commercial payloads. Maybe not as specially trained as the U.S. astronauts hired by NASA, but with a more broad approach that can have further impact on the different number of vehicles that will be flying soon. This is not just the space shuttle and that's it that they will be training for. We're trying to train for multiple vehicles and multiple situations that would be common to a lot of commercial flights.
So are you actually in competition to take the place of NASA astronauts?
Not necessarily in competition, but they could be considered competition in the future, just like how pilots who were in the military are usually go into being pilots for the airline industry. There is a lot of competition there between the military and the commercial, the people who just did the flight training without the military training. There's some competition there, and we expect to see some competition in our realm as well. But we're trying to generalize our training program and make our astronauts more suited for the commercial environment and try to have that specialized training as well.
I mean, you can't just send any old person up into space. There is an awful lot of training that the NASA astronauts for sure go through. What kind of training do people who join your group get?
Well, actually, I want to disagree with you on that. I believe that anyone should be able to go into space. Depending on the mission, of course, you wouldn't send someone like Stephen Hawking to land on Mars. However, hopefully one day he will be able to fly on one of these suborbital flights just as a regular person. Anyone can go into space. You don't really need a whole lot of motor control to be able to go there. And that's one of the things that the commercial industry is really trying to change, trying to open the doors to space to everyone, to lower the cost of access to space. The reason why space flight has been so kind of exclusive to NASA and other government agencies is because it has been so difficult and so expensive. And by letting the commercial markets kind of not take over, but be a player in this game as well, that'll drive competition, drive the prices down. As more and more flights become available, more and more people will fly, and the kind of the dream of the realization of spaceflight will become a reality. Now, back to your question about the training that we do. Right now, Astronauts for Hire is focused on suborbital flights. We're developing our suborbital scientist astronaut training qualification standards, but we are also looking ahead toward the future, toward orbital training and orbital qualification standards. Our program is we're working with a number of flight training providers to train for right now these parabolic flights that you might see with Virgin Galactic, you might see with X-Corps or other companies, Blue Origin. But we're not training specifically for those vehicles themselves. We're training for those situations. What will happen is if one of our astronauts gets contracted out to fly for either one of the launch providers or another research company that hires us to be their experimenter, then we will go and train with those vehicles specifically. The specific vehicle training is important, but the general background is also important as well, so that you can go from one vehicle to the next. Whether or not, I mean, we might not be pilots or the actual operation of the spacecraft, but to be able to do the research on the plane, it's not just like being a passenger on an airplane. It's more like being a flight attendant. There are duties you have to do during the flight rather than just sit around, look out the window, which is something, of course, I always dreamed of, just, you know, being able to go into space. But, you know, we are trying to go to space to do a job. And so the training we're trying to provide is to these astronauts is what we're trying to do.
So who has already hired the astronauts for hire?
So we just completed our first contract. Sabre Astronautics hired one of our astronauts. Sabre Astronautics was developing an experiment for the Four Pines Brewery in Australia. Four Pines was developing the world's first beer that was brewed specifically for consumption in space. Now, because the human body changes, there are some considerations you need to make for food consumption in space, and I can tell you about that if you'd like. But Four Pines was working with Sabre Astronautics, who was the experiment and research group. They contracted out to us to hire the researcher, and we worked with the Zero Gravity Corporation, which was the flight provider. And that's kind of the role that we feel that Astronauts for Hire is playing, linking these researchers and these flight providers and finding the best personnel that we can to operate these experiments on these flights.
Are you confident that principal investigators will trust your astronauts to take care of their much-loved experiments?
Well, that is something we're trying to build a relationship with the principal investigators. Now, sometimes the principal investigators might not trust themselves so much. You're putting a lot of their work, even if they put it into their own hands, they might not feel confident that they're capable of carrying out such an experiment. That's where we come in. Such a researcher could hire us, and we would work with them side by side with the experiment, even helping to develop it. We also do consulting for experiment design and to make sure that these experiments are actually, you know, they will work in microgravity. I personally know the feeling of having an experiment that failed during a flight, and it's an investment of not just the research dollars from whatever funding source you had, but also your own time and effort. So these PIs, these principal investigators, definitely have a vested interest in making sure the experiment works. So we are also helping with the design and running the experiments, training, you know, letting them see us train, and building that relationship so the PIs feel confident that we really are the ones that can be doing the job.
So you said you're concentrating on suborbital flights at the moment. Have you been speaking to SpaceX, for example, about going into orbit?
We haven't quite gotten to that point yet. That is definitely one of the key players in the orbital market, especially right now after the launch of the Falcon 9 and the Dragon. So we'll see.
And you've done your beer flight. What's next on the books?
Well, there may be some more beer flights, but we are looking for more research, some PIs to try to do more microgravity flights in the meantime until some of these suborbital flights start coming out. And other PIs, I know there's other competition, and obviously microgravity flights aren't quite as expensive as the suborbital flights. And it is easy, I shouldn't say easy, but there is a... There's not much lost if someone who is untrained with a microgravity experiment goes up. But it's still an investment in time, and we feel that we can make sure that those experiments go right versus those who might not be as well trained. It is a hectic environment, and if you see videos from some of these research flights, especially depending on the complexity of the experiment. You can get people who might lose their cool and have problems. Especially on weightless flights, they might become incapacitated, start throwing up, and then they have to be moved to the back of the plane. And then if you don't have a backup person that's already working there, then you could lose your experiment. So there's work now looking for more microgravity flights at this moment, but we're also looking ahead to the suborbital market once that starts to open up.
And if people want to find you online?
Go to www.astronautsforhire.com. Sorry, .org. That is a four with a number four.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you very much.